This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Kremlin is calling results of Russia's presidential election proof the Russian people are consolidated around Vladimir Putin. Officials there say he's won by more than 87% of the vote, paving the way for him to become the longest-serving Russian leader in more than 200 years. Through an interpreter, Putin warned anyone from trying to intimidate Russia.
Nobody has ever succeeded in doing this in history and is not succeeding now and will never succeed in future.
Disappointing news for Donald Trump in his bid to return to the White House. His former Vice President Mike Pence tells CBS's Face the Nation.
I won't be endorsing Donald Trump this year. I see him departing from the mainstream conservative agenda.
At a campaign rally Saturday, that included calling January 6th suspects hostages. As for President Biden,
the president will start his Western tour by traveling to Reno, Nevada, and will also make a stop in Las Vegas. His swing through Western states will shift to Arizona on Tuesday with a stop in Phoenix and will coincide with Arizona's primary election.
CBS's Linda Kenyon in Washington. The Supreme Court could intervene to stop a Texas law from taking effect today that would allow law enforcement to jail and prosecute suspected undocumented immigrants. Rice University poli-sci professor Robert Stein.
If my interpretation's right, they're looking to take time in order to form not only the right decision, but one that is cohesive and has more than just 5-4.
Israel's military conducting new attacks on Gaza's largest medical facility today. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
The IDF is conducting a high-precision operation in limited areas of Shifa Hospital.
Israeli Army spokesman Daniel Hagari said Israel had information that demanded immediate action.
We know that senior Hamas terrorists have regrouped inside the Shifa Hospital and are using it to command attacks against Israel.
The Gaza Health Ministry says 30,000 people are sheltering at the hospital.
A charter flight carrying dozens of U.S. citizens who'd been trapped by spiraling gang violence in Haiti has landed in Miami. Among them, Abson Lewis.
We feel like we had no one fighting on our behalf. And finally, we got an email saying, hey, we got a flight for you. So, feeling great.
March Madness is back. Top seed on the men's side, defending champ Connecticut. For women, South Carolina. Coach Don Staley says sealing the deal won't be easy.
All great teams, a lot of familiar faces that's in our region, but we have to take it one game at a time, and that's what we'll do on Friday.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A federal judge has dismissed two of the three claims against a former Wauwatosa police officer who killed three people of color in 5 years. The families of Antonio Gonzalez, Jay Anderson, and Alvin Cole filed suits against former officer Joseph Mensa in 2022. The judge tossed the cases from Gonzalez and Anderson, saying that the use of force was necessary in their situations. The Cole case will continue. Eviction filings are rising in Wisconsin. Filings were up 18% in January from their pre-pandemic averages. Wisconsin has also seen some of the steepest rent increases between January 2022 and 2023. The median monthly rent in Wisconsin is over $1,500. Last year, research group Ford Analytics found that the state needs to build at least 140,000 housing units by 2030 just to keep pace with current demand. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers head to the NCAA tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the bad news is Wisconsin lost to Illinois 93-87 in the Big Ten final. The good news is they are the number 5 seed to start March Madness. They play James Madison University Friday night in Brooklyn. Greg Gard.
Happy that we got Friday. I think that helps. We're leaving here better than where we were on Wednesday. I mean, we're a better team. We're playing really well. Come up with a couple more loose balls and rebounds today. One less turnover, two less turnovers, and we're in good position. But we played well today.
The Marquette Golden Eagles face Western Kentucky Friday afternoon. NBA, the Bucks with a win, 140-129 At home over the Suns, Giannis sat out with a sore hamstring. Bobby Portis came off the bench scoring 31 points, saying it was time to silence his critics.
Try to block out all the naysayers. They be talking crazy about me all year long, trade them, all type of stuff. So I can get in my own zone now.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 35 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 23 for a low. Tomorrow will be windy, partly cloudy, but warmer. Our high 48 than on Wednesday, sunny, windy, and colder with a high of only 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
At 7:06 on a Monday morning, March 18th, Bracket Monday. Now that we know where the Badger men's basketball team and the Marquette men are going to be competing come Friday in the first round of the NCAA men's college basketball tournament. We'll talk more about that a little later on. Also this hour, Wisconsin voters are already being courted like never before, given our state status as the likely tipping point for another presidential election. The group A Better Wisconsin Together has already begun reaching out to remind voters of the issues, the candidates' positions, and the power of their vote. On November 5th, we'll talk to a couple of folks active in the canvassing. We'll find out from Civic Media News Director Terry Bell three things you need to know to start the week. We'll visit more with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, with Up North News reporter Selena Heller, with Greg Bach in Waukesha. But first, a much cooler forecast to get the week going. Teens and 20s across Wisconsin today. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us about winter saying, no, I'm not ready to move on yet. You can't have 60s all the time.
Nope. Mother Nature's got a trick up her sleeve, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But today.
But the wind has finally died down here. I mean, that was an icy wind at times.
That was brutal, wasn't it? Yeah. So blustery.
Yes. That's done.
Me too. Winds are going to be only gusting up to 15 miles per hour today, so that is nothing at all. In fact, high temperatures, though, staying a touch below average. Now, where's our average? Well, we're supposed to be hitting throughout the state anywhere from the low to mid-40s throughout this time of year. But today, we're going to stay into the upper 20s into northern parts of the state. To the low to mid 30s will be the warmest temperatures that we see. And in fact, right now, temperatures are only 16 degrees into Superior, Wisconsin, and the warmest at this morning is 27 into Green Bay area. So a huge difference out there. And of course, we're going to stay below average for the entire week besides tomorrow. Tomorrow is the only day we get a little slice of 40s. This is about as warm as we're going to get this week. And even into next week, too, we see an active pattern and some potential snowstorms. Yes, snowstorms headed our way. Multiple.
Multiple. Oh, great. Yeah. Wow. That's...
Hey, you're a bummer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks so much. I'm excited, but hey. Well,
I love that Green Bay is the warm spot in Wisconsin right now.
The frozen tundra, right?
What's going on? It's been known to happen once or twice, but that's about it. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, coming up in on our website right now, the story of a Milwaukee mom who's become a leading voice trying to speed up the removal of lead water lines in Wisconsin after seeing her own young child become ill for years because of lead poisoning. So find out more about that issue. On social media, a Wisconsin woman has qualified for her second Olympics and in a different event than from the first time. So check out all that at our website, upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on social media. Selena Heller is going to tell us about stories that she's working on for Up North News right after this important factual correction from Dr. Kristen Lierley, who was asked at the end of the last hour, who's going to be on the Women Win Wisconsin segment on Thursday? And Kristen, swing and a miss.
Yeah, I said Madeline Tully, but it's actually her twin sister, Margaret Arney, who is running for assembly down in the Milwaukee area.
Maybe she's not. Maybe the twin sisters. I saw the Parent Trap.
I mean, know. They're both brilliant women in their own right, and I made a mistake.
Kristen Lierley hates twins.
Well, now because I had to see the Lindsay Lohan version of Parent Trap about 1,000 times when my kids were younger. So now I just need these two sisters to come on together and sing, you know, let's get together. Yeah.
So. We could have a real good time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm cutting your mic.
So that will be our real guest on Thursday at 7:30.
Yeah.
From Kristen. Okay. Selena's been covering various stories for us. And to tell you what, I've already kind of teased the Wisconsin Olympian. Do you want to start by telling us a bit more about her?
Yeah. So Emily Sisson, she is from Milwaukee. I think she was a Badger. She ran on the track team there. But she recently qualified for the Paris Olympics in marathon. And this was only like she had only run that marathon a few times before. And then the last Olympic trials, she ran it and had to stop. She kind of dropped out of the race. So before, when she was in the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020, she was in it for she competed at the 10K race. So it was a completely different event. How cool is that?
Yeah, going from a 10K to a marathon is... Well, bonkers for starters, but but to do it as an Olympic athlete where you normally specialize in just, you know, a particular distance by and large. So good.
Well, right. And then she said it kind of because in 2020 there weren't crowds in this where she ran. And so you didn't get the cheering and whatever. So she was motivated by that to get into this next Olympics so she could hear and be a part of the whole big thing and have kind of a more of a people experience. So that's what kind of led her to do this again.
Oh, very nice. Which leads now to this question to go around the horn here. If you could compete in one Olympic event that you would like to compete, I'm not saying you have to do it right now. You might not do very well right now, but
no.
If there was one that you could train for and would want to run, or not literally, but be in, what would it be?
Oh my Selena? Goodness. Well,
I would start by saying, you know, something like the marathon. If
really?
I had my knees, if I had the knees I used to have, I would run. Yes.
I did sprints in track in high school. So just a short distance. I don't want to do long distance, but I couldn't even run across the yard the other day without getting tired. So,
yeah, again, we're not really in Olympic shape here. Well, let me not speak for Dr. Lierley, who could probably compete in the velodrome right now in one of those bicycle things. Right, Kristen?
Yes, but that wouldn't be my sport.
What would be your sport?
I think it would be one of those things where you go flying down an icy hill, like skeleton or luge or bobsled.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would love that.
So you picked Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Greg?
Curling.
Oh, have you ever gone curling?
Yes.
No, but it seems very low impact and easy.
Oh,
not
you
easy.
Can.
Not easy like it to be good at it, but like, you know, I ain't running.
It's not.
And I'm not going to swim.
If you can compete while holding a cigarette, yes.
A friend of mine was a curler. She was a heavy-duty amateur curler, and she showed me a catalog of curling accessories, like between the rock and all. The pants are $200.
Oh, yeah.
Curling pants. They're just khakis.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're warm and, you know, they have all the right padding in the right places.
Yes.
Maybe if you fall, then
they're slidey. Like, you got to go to a curling club and give it a try. They often will do little beginner things or, you know, get to know curling. It is really fun, but it is much harder than you think it is.
Oh, I don't doubt it's much harder than I think it is. I think I don't think I'm going to walk on the ice and be like, I'm here, guys. Relax. I just think it's one of those weird, like, bowling, volleyball, curling. I'm going to become problematically competitive. Like, it's I get like real, like, you know, intense about stuff like that. I don't know. Wisconsin sports, for some reason.
I was gonna say, yeah, he treats the stone or the rock, whatever it is, treats it like his own personal shot put.
Yeah,
you know, just heaves it to the other end of the court. Hulk smash.
You can't do that, can you, Ralph?
In the league here, like, the older gentlemen wear helmets, and which I think is a good idea.
Why? That is a good idea. Actually.
Wait, why?
Because if you fall, if you slip on the ice, you can bump.
I was gonna
say,
that's why I mentioned last hour slipping on the ice and cracking my head.
You mean
that's
your $200 pants aren't going to save your life?
No, no, they are not.
Unless you wear them on your head.
Thank you, doctor.
My pleasure.
Does not work that way, no. Look for, before we get on with more of the stories that Selena's covering, let's mention that the brackets have come out for the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and the Wisconsin Badgers are a 5 seed, so they will play 12 seed James Madison on Friday night. 8:40 will be the tip-off Friday. They play in Brooklyn, and the winner will play the winner of the number 4-13 game, fourth-ranked Duke and 13th-ranked Vermont. But Wisconsin versus James Madison is one of those where people are already talking about, you know, potential upset in the first round. It really depends on which Badger team shows up. If it's the one we saw yesterday, yeah, maybe. If it's the one we saw that, you know, came back strong against Purdue, it could make for a very fun game. The Marquette men are a number 2 seed. They have a Friday afternoon game in Indianapolis versus 15th ranked Western Kentucky. But because of the way the brackets are laid out, conceivably, both the Badgers and Marquette could end up playing each other if they were to win their first couple of games. That would be fun.
So fun. I love March Madness.
Do you?
Yeah.
Should we do? I told Greg maybe we'll just grab some blank brackets. You know, maybe we'll do that Thursday morning before the games all get going.
We'll okay.
Fill something out.
Without, did you see the high school game? Excuse me, that went into quadruple overtime.
I heard there was
record breaking. Yeah, it was just the craziest game, I guess.
Oh, that's great. I love tournament time. I really do. Like I said, we really loved watching the Badgers come back against Purdue on Saturday because there's just so much more at stake, you know. And state tournament, you can't top that.
High school sports. There's something just so, like, your community is really behind your high school sports team and the excitement and the frenzy. There's something really special about that level.
Yeah. And a lot of people just go, even if their own team isn't in it, they just watch all day. Mm-hmm. A lot of basketball.
Yep. Plenty of people do. I also watched some of the Bucks game against Phoenix yesterday, and it was just one of those games where, like, nothing can go wrong, even though Giannis didn't play because he had a sore hamstring, but the rest of the team sure stepped up. Damian Lillard, 31 points. Bobby Portis is so fun to watch. He had 31 points. And he was hitting threes like nobody's business in the first half. Chris Middleton is back and added 22 points as the Bucks beat the Suns 140 to 129. The Bucks hit 24 three-pointers in the game. They travel to Boston next to play the Celtics on Wednesday night. And again, congratulations to the UW River Falls women's hockey team, national champions after a perfect season. I believe it was 31-0 how they wrapped things up and are national champions. When we come back, Selena Heller is going to tell us more about some of the stories that she's covering for Up North News. And then we'll talk to our friends from A Better Wisconsin Together, talking about the value of your vote and why you're seeing voter outreach already well before November. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 Player Selection Draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on, to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Everything I have is standing here in front of you to see.
Charlie Pride there, Greg?
Absolutely.
Mom loved Charlie Pride.
I love his voice. He's so cool.
That's exactly what Rob says as well. He wrote on Facebook, my mom's favorite singer was Charlie Pride. He also says that in Tigerton, it's cloudy and 22. We are in March Madness, both for college basketball and the weather. I got to get the snowblower ready for early Friday morning and later in the weekend. So somebody's paying attention to Brittany over here. And he goes on to say the Bee Gees Saturday Night era. There was also brother Andy Gibb, who had many songs back in the day, which essentially were Bee Gees songs. You know,
yeah,
they just let Andy.
He was the youngest. He was my favorite. I had such a crush on Andy Gibb.
He was dreamy.
Yeah. He was. And then, like so many others, he died from being a rock and roll singer. It's an actual cause of death. It should be listed that way.
Yeah.
Selena Heller from Up North News is with us. And as we go over some of the stories that you can find at upnorthnewswi.com and on social media, we also have the story of a woman who is look, it's one thing to be an organ donor, okay? But it's another thing to be an organ donor and still do crazy, amazing things. And Selena can tell us more about that.
Oh my goodness. This I just love this story. It's an amazing, incredible story. It takes a lot of turns. You have to follow me with this. So Natasha Irish is in Cedarburg. She saw on Facebook one day that a husband may put out a plea looking for a kidney for his wife. Natasha didn't know her. Didn't know the husband, didn't know anybody, but they also lived in Cedarburg, same town. And she said, why not? Why not donate a kidney to a stranger? So she went and got tested. So that's where the story starts. Okay. Incredible enough right there, right? So then as the story goes on, so she ends up donating her kidney, but Natasha and the person that she was donating for weren't a match. So then the person she was donating for in turn gets moved up on the donor list. She kind of gets a priority because she donated on her behalf. So meanwhile, another person in Eau Claire, here in Eau Claire, needs a kidney. So somebody donated on her behalf and they weren't a match either. So they unpair. And then this person in Eau Claire, Shireen, gets moved up on the donor list as well. So Natasha's kidney goes to Shireen. So it's all this crazy pairings and
do you need the whiteboard with the strings of yarn?
That's what I'm envisioning. Explain all of this. Okay.
But the bottom line is you can donate a kidney as a healthy human being. And if you're doing it on someone else's behalf, everybody benefits, even if it's not a match.
Right. Incredible story. Now, it gets even more because they have a group of donor athletes that they get involved to do these things. Last week, they climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. So Natasha Irish, with one kidney from Cedarburg, climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. And that's she crazy. Just sent me a message just right now that says, we are all so exhausted after the climb. It felt good to sleep. They were on their descent just at the end of the week. And everyone else left on safari, but I've done that. So I'm on my long flight back home right now. So she's on her flight. She just sent
You're
me that
getting
message.
Text messages from the other side of the world from somebody who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with one kid.
It was kind of mind-blowing because I was sending her messages. I said, I know you're kind of busy right now because they just got to the top. And I said, and I was asking
how was the
questions.
Reception?
She said it was spotty, but when
she has AT&T, it was terrible. Yes.
She was sending me messages on their descent down the mountain. And I was like, you don't really have to do that. I know, like, I understand if you don't answer me, but she was giving me updates. And it was just, it's an amazing story.
That's great commitment. And Greg, you know somebody that just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro?
My brother-in-law, like just within the past 2 weeks.
Like, did he text you afterwards?
No.
Okay. Selena, you win that round.
He texted me yesterday, though.
Okay, well, that's close. I mean, it's family. You're an in-law.
He's a cool guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Pat, do you remember when we were doing our hometown health segments, we had Cara Scython from mm-hmm. the Menominee area. She also was a live kidney donor. She's running the Boston Marathon this spring. Wow. Like, these people are just absolutely incredible in giving, and there are many of them. And Selena, thank you for telling the story because, wow. What an inspiration.
We just had. Right.
And this group exists to say, you know, to bring awareness, obviously, to donation, but to say, you can do all of this stuff, live a healthy lifestyle with only one kidney or donating any organ and not any organ.
Well, preferably one that you don't need.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Now, there's a note in today's newsletter that, you know, there are people who are part of like this two organ club where they will donate a kidney and they've also donated a part of their liver, which Kristen, you can also donate a part of your liver. It grows back.
Yeah, it does. Regenerates. So you don't have to give up the whole thing because you do need it for yourself. But yeah, it is. If you are not an organ donor, if you don't have that little sticker on your license, please look into doing that. It saves other people's lives. And there's nothing as frustrating as when someone passes away and they are young and healthy and they have organs to donate, to be there at the hospital and you can't donate them because they haven't done that step in advance. So please think about becoming an organ donor if you have the capacity to do that.
And right. These women were all in their 40s and they were moms. And so they each want to kind of help each other out because they understood.
All right. And then one more story we don't have a lot of time for, but again, with the legislature having just recently considered another anti-trans bill, you talked to a mom who still finds some signs of hope out there amongst an otherwise ugly political debate.
Yeah, Katie Bushman is from Chippewa Falls, and she talks about a lot of topics because she's personally affected with her child in the school district. So we can hear from Katie.
Trans youth has been an issue that has been politicized and targeted. And so as a parent of a trans kiddo, it is really disheartening to open the news every day and to see that another thing is trying to be taken away from our children, whether it's access to after-school curriculum sports, whether it is me worrying about my child being able to access a bathroom at school in an environment where they feel safe. That is the continual messaging that we are getting, and that we as parents have to constantly live in fear of that, and our kids have to constantly deal with that reality. It's really great and hopeful to see when something more inclusive and something that would expand our children's access and give our children more representation comes through, because it feels so few and far between right now.
But she does say that she feels like there's a shifting tide out there, and let's hear more from Katie.
We see the tide shifting. We can see that there are people who care and want to voice their ideas and their beliefs and that are willing to stay and fight. And so there will be a shift. I think it feels way too slow for some of us who are living this reality day to day, but I can see that things are shifting towards a safer, more inclusive community where all of our kids have access to the things that they need and have the right to be a kid and be genuinely themselves.
And that's what we're working toward. So, Selena, thanks. I mean, the stories today, for everything that we have to put up with in the news sometimes, it's nice to have those reminders of the good ones out there.
Exactly.
Glad you go find them. All right. We'll talk to the folks from A Better Wisconsin Together coming up. Kristen, thanks. We'll see you on Thursday morning for Women Win Wisconsin. Selena, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
And back with more about A Better Wisconsin Together. And Terry Bell, yet with three things you need to know to start the week. All ahead, you're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Rare horse breeds, a major focus for this year's Midwest Horse Fair. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. The executive director of the Midwest Horse Fair says these breeds tough to find anywhere in the world, let alone in one place. More on that in a moment.
At Compeer Financial, we provide services based on your needs. So whether it's ag lending, crop insurance, or other financial services, or you're seeking industry expertise from a trusted advisor, we're here as a partner and member of your community that is defined by you. Contact your local Compeer Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Horse breeds that are nearly extinct. That's where the Midwest Horse Fair will put emphasis this year. Terry Giannetti is the executive director of the event.
We're going to have 39 different breeds and disciplines, which is the most we've ever had. And part of it is our focus on, are leveraging the Livestock Conservancy's list of where they define what are critical and threatened breeds. So critical breeds, they define them as there's only 500 in the world globally, and threatened are there's only 5,000 in the world globally. So, we're offering this opportunity for these smaller groups where they may only have three horses that meet this criteria. And this year we have four breeds that folks may have never seen before, a chance to really learn about them.
Terry Giannetti, executive director of the Midwest Horse Fair, coming to the Alliant Energy Center grounds again this year, April 19th through the 21st. Find out more and acquire tickets online at MidwestHorseFair.com.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
And it looks like our Wisconsin beekeepers and honey production suffered just a little bit last year. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, we produced 2.79 million pounds of honey last year. That was down 4% compared to 2022. On the upside, Wisconsin had 62,000 honey-producing colonies within our borders, and that was up 9,000 compared to 2022. That number alone helped Wisconsin rank 11th nationally in overall honey production. On the national scene, the U.S. Department of Agriculture says that we had 2.51 million colonies producing honey in the United States, down 6% compared to 2022. There's your food and farming news. I'm Pam Yonke.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 35 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, will drop to 23 for a low. Tomorrow will be windy, partly cloudy, but warmer. Our high 48, then on Wednesday, sunny, windy, and colder with a high of only 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A Better Wisconsin Together is a state-based research and communications hub for progressives, messaging that is research-driven and targeted for maximum impact using cutting-edge digital, earned, paid, and social media strategies. What's that all mean? It means that if people are going to go vote, you want them armed with as much good information as possible. Have it be accurate, make sure that it has perspective, but you don't need to hear that from me. You can hear it from folks with A Better Wisconsin Together. And for that, we have Hannah Frazier and Ashley Levy here to tell us more about A Better Wisconsin Together and about their Megaphone program. Hannah, Ashley, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you both here. Hannah, you are a Megaphone organizer. Ashley is a Megaphone volunteer. So, Hannah, let's start from an organizational standpoint. Tell us a bit more about A Better Wisconsin Together and specifically the Megaphone program.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you hit the nail right on the head. We are a 501c4 organization working to spread progressive messaging. How we are doing that is through social media. So we know that a ton of folks right now are getting their political news and updates from social media. And so we decided, instead of more traditional methods like knocking on doors and stuff like that, we decided that a better way for us to do that would be to go directly where the people are. So we are on social media and we are trying to spread well-informed progressive messaging on social media. And the Our Megaphone program is pretty special. So what we do is we have an app called Our Megaphone. And on this app, we give our volunteers access to a ton of different materials. Between like graphics with lots of catchy, snappy sayings on them and, pre-drafted captions that are researched and tested and ready to go. So our goal is to lower the barriers to entry for folks wanting to start conversations around progressive policy in Wisconsin. We're really trying to make that super accessible for volunteers like Ashley to be able to share to social media and get the message out.
What a difference just a few years made. Well, almost 20 years now since I first got involved in politics, where social media hadn't really taken off the way that it had. And what you heard from people when you were out canvassing, you know, knocking on doors and things, was the people who were doing the door knocking, They wanted a clear set of essentially talking points, because people would at the door say, well, where did you get that? Or what is that based on or whatnot? And they wanted, I always made the line I used was stone tablets. Like, they wanted somebody to come down from the mountaintop with stone tablets and say, here are the things you should say that are going to be most effective when you're talking to your friends and neighbors. And now it's there in app form. Ashley is a volunteer. Tell me more about your experience, what you do.
You know, I think what you've both discussed here is exactly the important parts about Megaphone. So it's really about meeting people where they're at. We know that 52% of people are getting some sort of political news information on social media. So it's about bringing this well-researched information that ABWT has put together through the Megaphone program and making it really accessible. Think of it sort of like digital canvassing. So instead of having to go knock on doors and have those conversations face-to-face, we're able to reach so many people on social media. So it's about taking those well-researched points, coming to a place where people are already spending their time, where they're already having these conversations, this discourse, and bringing important information, well-researched information that people need to hear to be educated and informed voters and citizens.
Hannah, this sounds to me like the central issue is trust. When I think back to 2016 and how many people were fooled by misinformation that was put into their Facebook feeds that turned out to come from, you know, bots and troll farms and things that made outlandish comments, but they looked believable. And people wondered, well, what's it going to take for social media to not be, you know, toxic to American civics? And it seems you build that trust back with factual information spread by the people in your own network, not strangers.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the best parts of our program, in my opinion, is that we have the ability to like have this trusted messenger effect. You know, as an organization, we can post as much as we want about progressive policy. And, you know, we have a good amount of reach, but trust is key. And so when we get volunteers like Ashley to be able to use their own personal social media accounts and share out this information, that is reaching all of Ashley's network. And then if somebody in Ashley's network shares it, all of their network. And it just really builds really quickly. And you get a wide reach of people sharing information to their network as trusted messengers. So you're exactly right. We trust is huge. And that's one of the biggest parts of this program that we're really proud of.
Well, especially since social media is so dynamic, because like you said, you know, Better Wisconsin Together is one of many websites that somebody could go to and read through all of the research, read through, you know, all the press releases. Nobody does that. Reporters do that. A few of us other political nerds do that. But most people say, don't go to a website, you know, but they will see things as they're scrolling through social media. So, Ashley, can you tell me a bit more about what that would, you know, look like if somebody were brand new to Megaphone and when you were? I mean, what is actually the process of reaching out to your network? Can you kind of step by step that for us for beginners?
Sure. I think it's a little bit different for each and every person who's involved. And that's one of the things that I find really great about the Megaphone program is the organizers like Hannah find a way to help you make it work for you. So for me, I have a social account with a fairly large following. And I find that most of the conversations that I have with people, the real connection happens on Instagram in my Instagram stories. So maybe for me, rather than making a post to my feed, I'm sharing things to stories because it's so easy for folks to reply there. So they'll often have follow-up questions. They'll ask for more information. They'll ask about ABWT. Well, where does this information come from? And it's such a powerful tool for opening the door to having a conversation, just like you would when you're canvassing, just like you would if you're talking with your friends, your family, your neighbors. It opens that door. It removes that barrier to having these conversations sometimes where people are afraid to ask. So it's about seeking out this great information in these toolkits that ABWT has conveniently put together for us volunteers, sharing it, getting those conversations going, and helping inform people about some of these issues. I'm not always the most informed person myself, but that's why I love an organization like ABWT and a program like Megaphone, because it helps me stay on top of things. So I'm learning just as much as a volunteer as I am sharing and having these talks with other folks.
So Ashley, this is not one-way communication where you're just putting things up, you're putting factoids and positions and whatnot. But what happens in the comment sections? Do you get, are there people that are like asking questions and you try to answer their questions, or does it turn into a flame war of people going, oh, yeah, that's fake news, you all made that up? What does the follow-up look like from when you put up something related to politics or the election?
I think like Hannah mentioned earlier, because this is coming from a trusted source within someone's network, the conversations usually aren't very heated. They're usually genuine curiosity from people asking follow-ups about important things. We just had a few different days of action this past month that were so exciting because they opened the doors to deeper conversation about issues that affect people in the state of Wisconsin. People want to have these discussions. I think a lot of times there's just, like you said, people won't go to a website necessarily to seek things out. But when the information's right there, it sort of sparks curiosity. It sparks that conversation. And I think for the most part, things stay pretty friendly and it's really approached from this place of genuine curiosity.
And you lead me right into the point that I was going to make next with Hannah about these days of action. Tell me about those. What are they and what do you do on those particular days?
Yeah, absolutely. Days of action are really interesting. So as an organizer, it is my goal to get a message out. And days of action are a really great opportunity for us to do that. What we do is we designate one day and ask all of our volunteers to get really loud on social media about whatever the issue is that day. These issues are often rotating. We recently just did our local government day of action. We've also done International Women's Day of Action and tons of other ones. But basically, our goal is to get a really strong, unified message out. The more frequently you see something, the more you're likely you are to remember it. I think we all fall ploy at times to just scrolling on social media and passively seeing things. And so our goal is that if we have everybody posting about the same topic on the same day around the same time, that people will really start to notice that content and say, maybe I should dig deeper. Maybe I should look into the research of this and how this impacts people. Or, oh, I didn't realize that this issue was impacting Wisconsinites in the way that it is. So it's really just an opportunity to get a strong, unified message out about various different topics. And they've been really successful, and we're really, really happy with how we've been seeing them go.
Well, along with the International Women's Day of Action, you've had local elections. You've got one coming up for Early Voting Day. And as we've noted here on the screen a couple of times, in-person early absentee voting gets underway this week. You can learn more at myvote.wi.gov, but also tell me more about the Early Voting Day of Action. What kind of messages will be out there, Hannah?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Early Voter Day of Action is we're really hoping to share out a ton of resources. There's so much to know about voting, but whether you're a student or a full-time resident, it can vary a lot depending on the type of person who is voting. And so what we want to do is we want to get a ton of educational information out there about how to do that, and not necessarily how to do it step by step, but where to find the answers, where to look when you are unsure. So we talk about being an educated voter, because especially in local government, there's a ton that we might not know. You know, we hear a lot about federal elections. We don't hear as much about local elections. And so when we are looking at local government, it's really important to go into these knowing what is at stake, knowing the different types of votes that you can make and what those mean. And so our goal is to share out the benefits of early voting, share the impacts that that local elections have and early voting has, why this is important, why Wisconsinites are the ones who hold the power and have the voice here to make change. Some of the stories that were just being told right before this, we're seeing a lot of things happen, especially at the school board level. And so we are just really driving home the importance of these local elections and early voting. I know everyone knows that we have an election coming up in November, but the lesser known fact is that we also have one coming up on April 2nd. And so we are trying to get the word out and get resources out on that.
I'm feeling absolute inner joy at this, that there are other people talking up the need to vote in your local spring nonpartisan elections, the importance of these school board races, county board, city council, town board, village board, whatever the case may be. Ashley, I hate to turn this into a generational thing, but I've said many a time that, you know, all of us rapidly aging early Gen Xers remember just how apathetic we all were in our early years about political matters. And it feels nothing nothing like that with younger adults today. They want to be involved. And what does that feel like to give them the tools that actually get them into a voting booth, probably in much greater numbers than, 30 years ago?
You know, it's something that I'm really personally very passionate about. All honesty, I probably missed the first few primary elections of my younger early voting days because I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the tools. I didn't feel like I had the knowledge. A lot of times I wouldn't even find out that there was a primary election, an early election, until after it already happened. So I think, breaking down those barriers to getting people involved, regardless of their age, is so important, right? We're all busy. We all have things going on. And so it's really important to A, know when these elections are happening, and B, give people the tools and resources to be able to research a little bit more. What's going to be on your ballot? Who's going to be on your ballot? Figuring out what's important to you and voting with your values. And I think that Megaphone really provides a lot of those resources.
All right. Hannah Frazier, Ashley Levy, thank you so much. Head over to BetterWisconsinTogether.org to learn more. Have a great day.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is normally the point of the program where I tell you what's coming up tomorrow before we visit with Terry Bell. And I can do that now because of a text message I just received minutes ago. I already knew we were going to have former UW Regent and former State Assembly Rep Dana Walks on tomorrow at 7:30. And now it looks like at 7:05 tomorrow, we will also have Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg talking about things that are happening there. So very busy Tuesday coming up on Up North News Radio. Now here's Terry Bell, news director of the Civic Media Radio Network, talking all about three things you need to know to start the week. But before we get to the three news stories that are out there, how much of a bracketologist are you? Did you watch for the men's basketball tournament brackets to come out? Do you take part in any competitions with the brackets, shall we say?
Did a little reading. I'm open to taking part in some competition. Really, I had a great time watching that Badger game Saturday against Purdue. That was as entertaining finish. Oh boy, oh boy, that was a lot of fun.
I'm blanking on the name of the big man from Purdue, but it was, oh my goodness. I mean, there was so much mockery on social media, basically saying that, that guy just ran over my mailbox and now the police are arresting me. That's kind of what the job the refs did in that game on Saturday.
Yeah, there was some, not a lot of happiness with the officiating, especially where I was watching.
Yeah, very much so. But anyway, we'll get to watch the Badgers and Marquette both on Friday in the NCAA tournament. But turning to the three things we need to know to start the week, we were talking about this time on Friday with Dan Schumacher up at Northland College and describing what a challenge it is for any small college and not even the private ones. We've talked about the two-year UW centers, how they're closing campuses and not, it's tough to make a go of it. And Northland's kind of in a I don't want to say do or die situation, but maybe some would describe it that way.
Well, they certainly are. They say they need to raise $12 million between now and April 3rd in order to open their door, keep their doors open next fall at all. That's pretty ambitious. And it does beg the question as to why did they not realize they were in the situation until the 11th hour? That's pretty interesting to me. That's something I would like to know. But yeah, the Northland College, a small liberal arts college, and, you know, all liberal arts colleges are described as small, but I think Northland has an enrollment of about 500. So,
Yeah,
it's a pretty small school. So, you know, the margins are pretty thin, and they're in quite a way. And it's happening all over Wisconsin, as you mentioned. Not only private colleges like Cardinal Stritch, which closed last year, St. Norbert College, which needs to come up with a bunch of money in a hurry, but five two-year state schools are either closing or going online. A lot of factors in all of this. I would imagine the main thing driving that is just Wisconsin's population of teenagers, high school graduates coming into the system is just not what it was back in the 70s. And that forces maybe some reevaluation of the business model.
You do. And then as Dan told us on Friday, one thing that's affecting all college campuses is the basically a cliff in the birth rate that happened back in 2008 or so. The Great Recession caused an immense drop in the birth rate. And those, you know, the babies that were born are just coming up on college age, and there's not nearly as many as there were, you know, a generation past. So we'll find out over the next few weeks what is the ultimate fate of Northland College. We're also going to talk about the ultimate fate of ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin, which have been persona non grata, no, box non grata for a while here, and find out if they're coming back, maybe, Terry.
They might be. So the new Supreme Court, the new majority on the Supreme Court decided they're going to consider this after a year ago or so. Well, let's see. Yeah. When the past conservative leaning court ruled that there was nothing in state law that allowed drop boxes, but there seems to be some thought among the court's liberal majority that there's nothing in state law expressly prohibiting them either. So they're going to take a look at that. I would expect a ruling fairly soon because, as you mentioned, absentee voting is underway now in Wisconsin, which, you know, if they rule in favor of the drop boxes, then that would entitle people voting as early as April 2nd, you would think, to be able to drop those ballots off at their nearest drop box if they choose.
That's right. You know, drop boxes that were used perfectly fine in Wisconsin for many years, Democrats and Republicans talking it up, never any legal challenges until Donald Trump said something. And then suddenly people were looking for reasons to ban them. And it could be that they do make some kind of a comeback. Number three on the list is all about uncommitted voters in a Democratic presidential primary.
Yeah, this has been a phenomenon. This happens to some extent in just about any primary election season. But this particular one, President Biden has been the focus of a concerted effort throughout the country to send a message to him, I think particularly about his policy in Gaza. And uncommitted is perhaps an option that many Wisconsin Democrats or Wisconsin left-leaning voters might consider now that the nominations are all but wrapped up and our votes that we cast on April 2nd are pretty much symbolic. They won't determine the outcome of the primaries. So uncommitted voters, so far more than a quarter of a million of them in the five Super Tuesday primaries. In Michigan, more than 100,000 people voted uncommitted. And Michigan is a state with a large Muslim population. Minnesota, 20% of votes on the Democratic side were uncommitted. So people have the luxury, if you will, of making such a statement in a primary that's essentially decided. We'll see what happens to those votes between now and November. But for now, people feel, I guess, that they're empowered to make this protest vote.
You used just the right words there. First off, the luxury of being able to vote that way. I would point people to what just happened in Russia, where, surprise, Vladimir Putin was reelected. You know,
for oh my gosh,
6-year term. It's amazing what you can do when you kill or otherwise eradicate or suppress the opposition. And, you know, there are people in this country that sure speak fondly of that. So, yeah, you have the luxury of casting a symbolic vote in the primary. General election, that might be another matter. And again, we've talked earlier about no labels and some of the other third party candidates and whether you're helping or hurting with your vote there. A lot to talk about between now and November 5th for that. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, with three things you need to know to get the week started. Terry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Have a great day. Greg, you as well. Get some rest after matinee on air, shall we say? I mean, you could nod off before then, but I wouldn't recommend it. See, there we go.
What?
All right.
What?
Nothing. Don't worry about it. I'll just go read this thing over here. Hey, Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can find our work over at upnorthnewswi.com. You can find us on TikTok. Search for Up North News. We'd love to see you on social media and subscribing to our daily newsletter as well. Thanks for being part of our Monday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you bright and early, 6 a.m. Tuesday.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
WFHR invites you to join David Farmbrough of Coldwell Banker's Seaward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. The next show is coming up and we'll be talking about topics that matter to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So if you're looking forward to welcoming David Farmbrough to the show and taking your questions, be sure to tune in every second Tuesday of the month at 3:30 right here on your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court could have the final say before a Texas law takes effect today, allowing law enforcement to arrest and prosecute suspects.